so enjoyed what's gone before, Brother Mike, and all day. I didn't come here this morning in a very good place. Just a tough week. And it's just, sometimes you feel that zeal to go to the Lord's house. And sometimes you just, you need to go. You feel so far away from how, you can't even remember the good times you had there sometimes. But I know there's something good there. Get up and go. I think it was you that talked about going through the motion, or fake it till you make it. If you got to do that, do that. And I tell you, the Lord has been with us today, and I feel like I'm in a much better spot now. Yes, but I'm going to start where I was. I hate to backtrack. And when we've heard the resurrection and prayer and all that, but as Brother Hewlin, you say, if you stay with me, this is going to get sweet. 2 Peter 2. I'm just going to start in verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them. You're like, whoa. Yeah. And delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Verse 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. That's where I was this morning. That's all that was on my mind, was the word vexed. Vexed. He was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knoweth. Now you look at Lot for a moment before we move on. It tells us now, you look at Lot. If you want to talk about, proof of once saved, always saved, the ending of Lot is not good. The last we find of him in the Bible is not good. But here it calls him just Lot. And it says it vexed his righteous soul. Oh, I looked that word, vexed. It says to wear, W-E-A-R, like to a road, to wear with toil, to wear down. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we get that way out in the world. We get where the toils of this world just beat on us and wear us down, and it vexes our righteous soul. And it says, it delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, let me tell you this though, Lot was not where he should have been. He was not where he should have been. Oh, but he says, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed. Now this, there's two different words there. Vexed, the first one is to wear with toil. The second one is to torture. To torture, it says, it vexed his righteous soul. I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's what this world does to us. It tortures our soul. But I tell you, because it is still good news when our soul is tortured. Because remember what Apostle Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God that I with the mind serve the laws of, I'm going to say, Romans 7 with the, yeah, Romans chapter 7. I got off in that and I forgot it. But I'm trying to hurry. Romans 7. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I'm like, why would you even mention the law that you serve the law of sin? Because that's guaranteed. That's guaranteed. Oh, but I tell you, the blessing is that with the mind, He has made us serve the law of God. I tell you, like you've mentioned, He wrote those in our hearts. He placed them in our hearts, wrote them in our minds, brothers and sisters. And that's what vexes. Oh, I tell you, sometimes it just wears us down, this world. Oh, and as Brother Philip was preaching, he went to Hezekiah, and I thought of Hezekiah. He went one way, and I'm thinking of another there. Oh, Hezekiah, he was a good king. You look at the kings of, I remember a few years ago, I was like, I'm going to go through all the kings and find the good kings and the bad kings. Well, it's easy. If they were a king of Israel after David and Solomon, and all right, after the half of Solomon, they were bad. Now, if they're kings in Judah, they had some that were followed after the Lord, they had some that followed after their father and did sin. But Hezekiah was a good one. Oh, but I tell you, we have a time in Hezekiah's life here. Oh, it's in 2 Kings. It starts in 18, and I'm just going to talk about a lot of it, and get to 19, where Syria had come up, I think. This guy by the name of Rabshakeh. It's what I'm calling him today. He came and he stood at their walls and said, I'm coming to get you. I'm just putting it in my own words. Oh, and they said, don't talk in our language. We don't want them to hear. You're going to scare them. Just speak in your language. We know it. He says, I will not. I want them all to hear it. And he scared them all. Oh, and after that happened, we have here in the 19th chapter. I want you to look at what Hezekiah did. He said, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Right there, we've got the things that we need to do. We've got these examples in scriptures of when the times got hard for them. What did they do? He went into the house of the Lord. What did David say? I had fainted. I had fainted, except I remembered to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, but he says, he when he heard it, he rent his clothes and he went into the house of the Lord. Oh, then he called for Isaiah. And then Isaiah said unto them, saith Lord, be not afraid of the words which he has heard, which the servants, the king of Assyria, have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor. So Isaiah says, don't be afraid. Guess what? He was still afraid. He didn't heed that word. Oh, I tell you, he was vexed. He was wore down. He was worried. And then, the king came back, wrote a letter. He says, thus shall you speak. This is what the king saying. Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan, Haran, Rispa, and children of Eden, which were in that place? Where is the king of Hamath? And the king of Arpad, and the king, where are all these people? All these said their God would deliver them. Their gods would, but they're no more. But I tell you, oh, Rabshakeh, you haven't come across this God yet. And then it says in Hezekiah, verse 14, oh, this is some of the richest scripture there is. Then and when Hezekiah received the letter of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah, where did he go? He went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. You know what that reminds me of? 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Brothers and sisters, he just, you know what? How many times do we get there in our lives where, oh, I just got to give this to you, Lord? If we'd have done it in the first place, we wouldn't have had to go through all that toil. But I tell you, he received this letter. And he went into the house of the Lord. And just put this mental picture in your mind. He spread it before the Lord. I tell you, that's prayer right there, Brother Mike. The Lord knew everything was going on. The Lord already sent a good message through Isaiah. But yet he spread it before the Lord. We're not bringing anything new to the Lord when we go in prayer. He knows the hairs of our heads. He knows our uprisings, our down sittings. Oh, but I tell you, when we go to him in prayer, oh, we have a high priest. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Brother Mike, Brother Philip, talking about that high priest, oh, it's just a picture of the great high priest that we have this day. One that it says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. So what does that say? How many times you heard this, right? We do have a priest, a high priest, that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And he walked this ground for 33 years. He was tempted in every way, yet without sin. I tell you, and by that he is able to succor those that come to him. Oh, isn't that a sweet thing? Because the human condition, what we want to do is, and the devil does this, he wants to isolate you. He wants to make you feel like no one has ever gone through what you're going through. No one has ever had it as bad as you. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, behold, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And that's what I want to do with the remainder of my time. Is to consider him. I tell you, when your soul is vexed, when the troubles of this world get to you, I want you to consider him. I want you to consider him from the very beginning. I want you to consider, as we heard about Simeon. Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? That man came to a baby, an eight-year-old, and he says, let thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I tell you, brothers and sisters, even to this day, in John chapter 12, and I might get there again, they said, oh, sir, we would see Jesus. We come here to his house, just like Hezekiah said. He went into the house of Lord, where he spread those letters. He went up into the house of Lord and spread the letters before God. I tell you, we come here. Oh, and just like Moses of old, whenever the Lord, he said, besought the Lord to show me thy glory, he says, no man can see my face and live, but there is a place by me. And he says, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I will set you in a rock, and I will cause my goodness to pass by. Brothers and sisters, to this day, we can see his goodness pass by in the land of the living, in the Lord's house. He passes by us and we see him. And what does it give us when we see him? Oh, you know what? Reminds me there where David cried out, oh, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? I tell you, I don't need Hebrew or Greek to know what disquiet. It doesn't sound good. It sounds like the Rogan Christmas or something. It's not quiet. It's pretty loud. I love my family. But it's loud. It's an uproar. And disquieted. Oh, but I tell you, just like Simeon said, oh, when he saw the Lord, and even to this day, when we see the Lord, we can depart in peace. But I want you to consider more Jesus. Oh, when he was baptized. John says, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. But you know what? He was baptized. What a moment in time that was when our Lord showed us the example and was baptized. And John saw the Spirit descending like a dove. He saw the heavens open and he heard a voice come from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You know what? What happens in the next chapter? after that, it says he was led up of God into of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't need anything. And the devil came and tempted him. But what did he answer him with? He answered him with himself. The Word of God, as Brother Mike has taught us that we need to be in the Word. I tell you, brothers and sisters, you need to know that the devil knows the Word of God. I don't know. I reckon he knows it a lot better than I do. But I tell you, we got to learn it because he knows it. He's been twisting them ever since the very beginning, twisting the words of God since the very beginning. So we need to know that Word of God, because that's how Jesus answered him, with the Word of God. Let me tell you how we're going to answer him. We're not. We're not. Oh, it says when contending for the body of Moses. Don't know exactly what that means. Got some ideas. We won't talk about it right now. But it says Gabriel durst, Michael, that I know I'm going to pick the wrong one. Michael durst not bring a railing accusation against him, but saying, "The Lord rebuke thee." It tells us to submit ourselves to God and flee the devil. We don't need to. Oh, I love it. I don't love it. When people say, "I told the devil." No, you don't tell him anything. You get away from him. You get to the house of God. But that's how, when our Savior was tempted, he brought the Word of God to him. Oh, now we got to get moving here. I'm not going to flip to all the places I was thinking of. But I tell you, there, he says, there came a time. I might flip to him. John chapter 9, I think. No, it's Luke chapter 9. And it came, verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I like, you go to Isaiah. It says he set his face as it were a flint. I believe you just, that's the thing about, oh, you don't need the Old Testament. Yeah, you do. Because it just brings more light to the New Testament. Here it says he set his face, and then you, just like we were talking about, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those Jews there knew what he was talking about. That's the 22nd Psalm right there. And when we see he set his face as it were to go to Jerusalem, he set it like a flint. Now this is a few months before he's going to be crucified. He's got a lot to do in Jerusalem. But I tell you, he had to set his face to go. He knew what was coming. And he was all God and all man. He knew what he must do. So it says he set his face to go to Jerusalem. I got to read this. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered in the village of Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And like, this has nothing to do with my sermon, but when you're this close, I just got to read it. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, wilt thou we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, as did even as Elias did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye're of." But he said, "I must go." Oh, and then we have in John chapter 12. Oh, right after I mentioned, they said we would see Jesus. Verse 27, he says, "Now is my soul troubled." I tell you, you think you've got your soul vexed? You think you've got troubles? I tell you, consider him. Our Lord. He says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." And then he says this, "Father, glorify thy name. That's a prayer. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people thereof that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. And I think a lot of the questions, all of them, that Jesus asked, he knew the answer. They were for our sakes. And this voice came for them around to know that the Father was speaking unto him. Oh, but he says, my soul is troubled. Brothers and sisters, he knew what was coming. Matthew 26. What do we do when we get in trouble? When we feel the vexing of our righteous soul? Well, Hezekiah, he went to the house of the Lord. He prayed. Now we've got Jesus praying. But look at this in Matthew chapter 26. Then cometh, verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. Saith unto disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Brothers and sisters, I despise the heresy that once arose in this area. Because for so long, it seemed like everyone wanted to skirt around the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, I tell you, it's important to know what didn't happen there. And that's atonement. I feel foolish we even got to say that. But I tell you what did happen there. Our Lord went there. And he spoke to his Father. It says, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he was not asking for a way out. I'm going to steal you, Brother Philip, because it's right. What we deserved is eternal woe and misery. But in God's miracle, he took an eternity of punishment and confined it to 6 hours. And that's how that cup passed. Let it have an end. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed. Same prayer. Well, let me read it. And prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy. And he left them. And went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Verse 46, rise. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. He started out saying, now is my soul exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. But at the end, he says, rise. It's hard, but it's got to be done. For this cause came I unto this hour. And there is never, you know, I've thought, as Brother Bruce was talking, that crying out, oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He asked the question, have you ever thought that? I have, but I'm embarrassed to say I have. Because I should never, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Because his son was forsaken, meaning he took all the wrath for us. He didn't feel the loving embrace of a father. He prayed, Father, Father. But on the cross he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So I remember that time. One time I had that thought, has the Lord forsaken me? And I thought, that's a foolish thought. It's foolish. Lord, let me not ever think that thought again. But after that prayer, he said, rise. I've used this a few times. But another hard time in my life is when Liz had her accident. She got thrown off a horse in the middle of the road. And, boy, you want to talk about, I'm prone to anxiety and panic attacks. And I felt one coming on. Just, it's a horrible feeling. Just that you have no control of your thoughts, your emotions, and it just, they start running away. But there's a gate there, and I drive by the gate still. And I just knelt down in front of everyone that was there and prayed. And I don't know what I said, but I do remember just, Lord, help. Yeah. Like, what did Brother David Michael? Whatever, Brother. Yeah, Lord, help. That's all I could muster. Lord, help. But you know what? I remember standing up from that prayer, feeling completely different. Knowing, I don't know what we're going to go through, but I know the Lord's here with me now. And I tell you, I felt strength getting up from that prayer. And here Jesus says, rise, let us go. This world is not our friend. And it's going to vex our souls from time to time. We need to stay out of it as much as we can. But still, you know, I don't have to go looking for a warfare. I carry it with me every day. But I tell you, may we remember these examples. Remember that Hezekiah, he went to the house of the Lord. He spread the letters before the Lord. Jesus, the greatest example. How often? We just went through a couple places here where he prayed to his Father. And now we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, how many times did it say Jesus went off to be alone? I tell you, brothers and sisters, when your soul is disquieted within you, you find a quiet place and go talk to your Father. And just spread it out and lay it before Him. And may we all the days of our life come into the house of the Lord. I had fainted, David said, except I remembered. Oh, we're so prone to forget. And even the most ablest preachers we have among us are prone to forget. Even John the Baptist was prone to forget. He sent disciples. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Jesus didn't say, that's my cousin. Yeah. He baptized me. Yeah. No, he says, you go and show John again. Yeah. The things which you both see and hear. The lame walk. The dead hear. The blind see. The lepers are cleansed. The dead are raised again. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Because when the gospel is preached unto us, it's a miracle. Mm-hmm. And Paul told Timothy, what? Put them in remembrance of these things, because we're prone to forget. Mm-hmm. And David says, I had fainted, except I remembered to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Come ahead, brother.
I don't know what your case is, but that was the best preaching of the weekend for me. Makes me thankful that we have the opportunity and we took it to set apart this time to worship. I love Jeb Owen very, very much. We go way back. And it hurt my heart to think of you being vexed. But I also realize what a blessing it was that you're able to get from there to here. Yeah. And what I would tell you in a pastoral way is Brother Jeb just preached to us with great liberty. And I don't think you did all that studying between being vexed and now. Right. The Lord had given you some things in advance that when you get vexed, there's some things that you can turn to that the Lord's already given you. And when you started preaching, I leaned over to Brother Philip because he had said, you know, there was that time in my life where I had to go to church. And then we get to that place where we say we get to go to church. And Brother Jeb taught us sometimes we need to go to church. Right. And how good the Lord is to see to our needs. And the example of the Lord in prayer, many, many times he prayed and literally within earshot where they could hear what he said and learn to pray that way. But Brother Jeb, in that moment, he taught them. They were able to watch him. That was the idea. Could you not watch and wait? And I don't think they were meant to hear those words, but they were going to see, sometimes you need to go off and pray by yourself, and that the Lord had done that. Now, some kind of miracle, he gave them those words that he prayed after the fact, because they put them in the written Gospels. That came from the Holy Ghost. But how beautiful to think of the Lord and the way that he takes care of us. It has been a blessing to be in the house of the Lord today. If you were made to come here today, or if you got to come here today, or you needed to come here today, whatever our case brought us, may we leave saying we were so blessed to be in the house of the Lord today. And it was not because we were made to go, or because we got to go, or because we needed to go. It's because he came. The Lord was here. He gathered us with the full intention to meet with us and give us those things that we stood in need of. And I don't like to think about any of you being vexed, but to know that there's others that suffer like you do, and that preachers can get vexed, and that a preacher that could be vexed and go to a meeting, even when you could have found an excuse not to come up here, there's a lot of things that get between a man and McMahon and Austin that you get to turn around, right? But I know that... you may feel like it was for you. I know it was for me. So, thankful. Thankful for the blessings of this day. We'll be dismissed, and we'll have supper if you want to stay with us. If you need to get on the road, we understand that as well. If you can stay and be with us tomorrow, we'd love to have you. And if you need a place to stay, we still have places where we can put you up for the night. Thank God in your own way. So much for which to be thankful. And as Brother Michael taught us, you can be thankful and in worship and in supplication all the time. And if you think, well, there's sometimes I don't need to ask him for anything. We always need to ask him for forgiveness of sins, right? We are always sinners, and we always have sin that needs to be accounted for and brought before him, and realize he is the great forgiver of sin. So we are always in the case where we stand in need of something, and that's forgiveness and the removing of the vexation and the victory that comes in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can always give him glory, and in that there is great worship. So what a privilege that we have.